跟我的 meditation， 去 maintain your mindfulness and awareness throughout。This morning, like I said, is a very auspicious day too. It's Samantabhadra Bodhisattva's birthday, Pusen Pusa. Those of you who are down there, I think quite a number of the Kayamitas are down there. How was the chanting this morning? How was it? Good, Sadhu. It lasted for 1 hour. Did you all do the walking? Okay, good. Which means they chant a different chant. Different. Yeah, I listen. Oh, change to Pusen Wang Pusa. Oh, very good. Pusen is a very unique and very special Bodhisattva. She is famous for her very unique 10 vows. She only got 10, but 10 very beautiful vows. And she is an expert in universal virtue. Her virtue is very, very special, very unique. Okay, anyway, anybody wants to report meditation? Sandra, come.
Good morning, Brother Teo, and brothers and sisters in Dhamma. I would like to ask the question one can maintain mindfulness,
yes,
even in the four posture.
Yeah.
But if let's say sitting meditation, there are some thoughts that comes in. Even though it comes and go. And one don't react.
Yes.
But such thoughts may, affect the mindfulness while sitting in meditation.
Okay. So the question is what?
So how do I carry on sitting meditating?
Okay. Yeah. I think I know what you want to know. Thank you so much, Sandra. Very good question. You see, when you sit meditating, initially, of course, you observe your posture. You are mindful because you are going down. So as you go down, as you adjust, relax, silent, you are definitely aware of your posture. Then after that, you meditate. Meditate means you relax, silent, aware. Then like you say, the thought will arise. When this thought arises, if you continue to be silent, you are still in a meditative state. Do you understand? The thought cannot disturb the meditative state. It only disturbs the meditative state when you are drawn by it. Understand? If you are silent, you will be able to recollect what those thoughts are. That's why when you are mindful, because you are aware of the arising and the passing away. And when you are aware of the arising and the passing away, you will be aware of what type of thought is it. Then you can recollect. When you come out of the meditation, when you are in the meditation, don't try to do anything. Then you will understand what those thoughts are. The question you must ask is, why this thought, not other thought? These are the thoughts that need to be released out from the brain. Like I said, these are the attachments that you unknowingly, through in awareness, or through the normal habitual tendency of heedlessness, it went in. Actually, a lot of this thing went in. Then when you start to meditate, the brain, like I say, need to find order. It has to recover, find order. So when you are in a quiet, relaxed state, all this will release out. Then, according to Krishnamurti, because you have attachment, you hold, so this will build stress, problem. So in order to release and relieve the stress, the brain will create subconscious release or unconscious release. That's why it's called respond to memory. Where you hold on to this memory, that you release out. So these are the thoughts. And this will allow you to reflect and contemplate how this thought went in. Then you start to learn a lot of things. Then you understand the very, very deep meaning of what the Buddha meant by attachment. Attachment is not the gross one, no. When you see something you like, then you hold on to it. No. Like I explained the other day. Small, small thing in life, when you pay attention, unknowingly you go in already. Where your aggregate are still grasping, you understand? You have not developed the wisdom to see things as they are, to have a free mind in awareness and understanding, to observe and to see. That one is a different seeing. The mundane seeing got a lot of interaction with your brain. Your like and dislike or whatever, even your like and dislike, it goes in there. But the memory, when there is condition for this memory to come out, you will have that memory coming out. Then it will link you to that thing. Sometimes it may not be exactly that thing, but somebody say something, then you recall that thing which last time quite similar. Then that emotion which you accumulated, the like and dislike, the negative perception, or how you perceive the situation will arise. Then the fear, the phobia, everything. So meditation is to silent, relax, and understand how you function as a human being. Then how all these thoughts, when they arise, is actually dependent originating. If there is no attachment, there is no such holding on in the brain and releasing out as thought. So meditation is to see all this. Then when you silence everything and meditate, then you realize after the release, unless you have a lot, then it takes a long time. Keep on waiting for it to release. But if you are patient, normally within 10 minutes, it should finish. And those who have very little of this, less than 1 minute, the thing settled down. Even last time when I came out to work to test myself, I still remember. I came out to the private sector to test myself. And in the private sector, you know, there's a lot of things to remember. Then my mind at that time cannot hold it, very sensitive. Even to read is suffering. You can see the suffering. And the nature tells you, it's your choice. You want to suffer, you read. But at that time, it will show it to you. Even every moment of perceiving the word, not to say processing it, perceiving it is suffering. Then the moment of even arising of that consciousness to see or to hear, you can feel the suffering. That's why the arising of mind itself is suffering. To be conscious of those things is suffering. And this is a very different type of suffering. And this is what they call the very fine suffering that can lead to cessation. The mind will cease. But for you all, you will not be able to have that sensitivity. So before you have that sensitivity, all this sankhara will take a while. But the worst is, people who don't understand, they got dislike for this thinking. And this is where the meditation go crazy. Dislike is a mental hindrance, anasana, which is an ill will. So it will hinder your mind from ending mind. Then you become impatient. You want to be peaceful, you cannot. So what you do? You have to do something. So a lot of them go into concentration, suppression. They determine to kill the thought or to suppress the thought. And all this will create all the thought-based meditation. But if you understand, you allow it to be, then the silence itself will not feed the thought process or the brain with any more mental energy. So when there is no more mental energy, the thought got no more power to proliferate or continue to think. You can see this point or not? Then you will experience the slowing down of sankhara. That is the beginning of understanding. Then there is a lot of joy because you start to know. When you are patient enough, you don't have to do anything. Like swimming. The natural state of buoyancy will come about. So your natural state of mind before the movement or activity or the subconscious is already the meditative state. Stillness, silence. So you just allow it to be and very patiently allow it to pass. The very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. And the easiest way to learn this is when you are emotional. When the moment there is fear, if you are not mindful to detect it immediately, then never mind. You can still silent and go to it. Face it. Don't reject it. That is what the fourth foundation of mindfulness is all about. Mindfulness of mental hindrance. When the hindrance of sensual desire or ill will or sloth and torpor or restlessness of mind or even doubt is there, you can just be aware of it. Means silence everything and stay with the emotion. Stay with the mental hindrance. Then you find out. That one is the fastest to learn. But that one is a very strong stirring. It's dependent originating, following dwelling. So this one is not like the subconscious release. They are less powerful. But less powerful, but it's a big problem. We have a lot of this keep on coming out, and you cannot handle, you cannot deal. If you try to deal, more thought will come out. So what you should do with that one, you must have patience to wait. Silent, no matter how long it will go come to pass. The other one, if you go through it once, at least once, you will know that these are dependent originating. Anger is not you. Fear is not you. And that will give you a very deep insight. A very penetrative understanding. No wonder the Buddha said these are dependent originating. Condition arising, impermanent. But they are not intrinsic in me. Anger was never me. Feeling was never me. Because when I silent, I can see it arising, sustaining, and finally cease. Then you realize you don't have to deal with emotion. Emotion is just a condition arising entity. Like Ajahn Chah said, they are the guests of the mind. They are not intrinsic. It was never there. But they come because of your reaction stirring. So like the wave in the still pool. Because branches drop or somebody throw a stone, then the ripple start. If no more stone go in or any foreign metal goes in, after a while what happens? The ripple will slow down, then stop. You don't believe, you go and try. You go and throw a stone into a... Don't have to go to the pond, the big pond. Your house on, if you got a small pond, you try. You can see the ripple. Then if they fish, easier. Because there is movement. Then the fish breathe. Then you realize there's a little bit of stirring inside there. But you got a lot of this hindrance. Like you got a lot of fish. The pond will never be still. Then the worst is you got frogs some more. Then you got one reptile, snake. The pond will never be still. But if you got seaweed, clarity, that flow and echo, it will settle down. It will become still. But whatever that has movement, like your thought, due to your views and opinion, your conditioning, your stirring, it can never be still. Because this one is very, very egoic. And egoic, it got ignorant because of ignorance, you want to think. When you think, mental activity will start. So when you don't allow your delusion to move this thinking or stirring or reaction of mind, then you are at peace. That's why meditation is to see all this, understand all this, and straighten your view. So that when you are in the midst of life, not only you are sitting, when you understand sitting is the first understanding. This is the beginning of understanding. Then when you have this understanding, knowing that all this sankhara is impermanent, dependent, originating condition, not you, when you come out, you still need to confront the world. Well, when you are out in the midst of life, your physical senses, they are all active, fully engaged. But when you are sitting, most of the time it's only the brain there, the thought, consciousness, and the hearing at times. So these two are very active. The rest of the senses are actually down. Of course, when they cook something, then your smell consciousness will smell it. But that one is very seldom, unless you are nearby that place. But the vibration, the sound, and the thought, these two doors are active. But you don't have to worry about traffic. You don't have to worry about your safety. You don't have to involve yourself in driving, in moving around. So your senses are very much less engaged. Under these circumstances, you cannot deal with your mind. When you go out into life, the daily mindfulness, you don't stand a chance. That's why you have to train your mind until it's very, very stable, the mindfulness. Then when you go into life, although the senses are fully engaged, you can deal with them. Because every moment of seeing, the content of consciousness go in, then your mind will stir, react, because it's habitual tendency. Then simultaneously in the seeing, the ear get imprinted, understand? Then the thought thing some more. Then there is so many things within nature that you have to pay attention to. So because of that, without mindfulness, you can never cope with life. So to cope with life, you must have very, very stable mindfulness. Even with the mindfulness, before the straightening of view and the wisdom, you still cannot go. You can be mindful, but the trouble is, human being wants to know. Then human being keep on creating active thinking. Then they get unhappy. How come my mind still stir, still react? How come I still feel anger? This is all wrong thought, because it's not you. You cannot go because there is no wisdom at the moment of sense experience. So wisdom has to come in first. That's why the Buddha said, yoniso manasikara. Manasikara is attention. Yoniso is wise. So wise attention, when it's there. That's why I say wisdom. When you have it, you will have it. When you don't have it, it's not there. Then the dependent origination will move. That's why you cannot blame yourself. Why I still got anger? Why I still stir? I still react? Why I still cannot cope? Why I still not calm? It's nothing to do with you. It has a lot to do with the form and mind that has the delusion, that don't understand. So meditation is to have the awareness or mindfulness to understand all this. Then when you understand who you are, what you are, that this 5 degree of form and mind is not you, it's a mechanical thing, automatic thing. Accept the consciousness there, create a lot of movement. And through delusion, it can create hell. Through wisdom, it can create peace, heaven, and beautiful mental states. So it's the user of the form and mind. And then you realize the user is you. Means that true mind. You must develop the ability to connect and develop the direct seeing, develop the wisdom. And that wisdom will become the user of thought. Then thought become beautiful. Thought become right thought. And this is what the teaching is all about. Then you will understand the body. You will not attach, you will not click. But if the user of this form and mind is deluded, there is no way you can free from life. That's why the Buddha said, the noble truth of dukkha, suffering, first noble truth, will always haunt you, afflict you. Now you understand? So let it come out, never mind. As long as you continue to be silent, you are still aware. Understand? You are the awareness is still aware, so that is meditation. silent mind. But if you are drawn by it, disturbed by it, because the thought will tell you how to analyze. There is no investigation, there is analyzing. Because the thought say, hey, Brother Teo say, when you are aware without thought, then you meditating. When there is thought, you become heedless, lost in thought. Correct? That statement is correct. But when there is thought, you think you already lost in thought. This thought is respond to memory. It's not created by you through reaction of mind and stirring of mind. So why you worry about it? Understand? Then when you understand, when you continue to be relaxed and silent, don't try to know, that awareness of that arising and the pass away of that phenomenon, the mental phenomenon, is very important. And that is the real meditation. That's why you can trace how it come about. Then you know how attachment goes. Then next time you go through life, you become very different. Then you know, no point reacting, where you are going. So it's all due to your wrong view. When your wrong view is gone, when you straighten, then you realize your direct seeing is more and more. Then you can actually be heedful and just aware. No more problem, nothing go in. Then later on the wisdom becomes so stable. One day you will insight into all the universal characteristics. Then you will wipe off delusion. And finally root out ignorance. Then the aggregate become non-grasping. Free means no longer the upadana khandas. It's already what they call pure aggregate. Without delusion, without any holding. At that time you will understand what I say. Everything is just the way it is. You cannot hold anymore. You want to hold, so you cannot hold. But the mind is different because of the understanding. Okay? Okay. Sadhu. Better go for breakfast. 7:45 already. Yeah? Okay, you pay your respect, then we go for breakfast. Huh? Thank you for the good question. We all should rejoice. Sadhu.